wake up, get up, wake up, come get up. When I wake up, when I wake up in the morning, I gotta get up and get it.
Beat Breakfast with Niall and Show.
Farm, there's another crew. Well, actually, do you know what? It's the same cruise ship we welcomed a few weeks ago. It's back. It's the Celebrity Silhouette has arrived in Dunmore East this morning. Around about now, 7 a.m. 2,837 passengers on board that will be transferring in and out to Waterford City and the South East this morning. So expect extra traffic on the route.
What can I say except you're welcome. I wonder, do a single passenger on that boat, like, would they have the, I don't know, like, would they have the inkling to tune into a local radio station?
The bus drivers might, on their coaches.
What can I say except you're welcome. Beat
Breakfast with Niall and Show. Morning, welcome along to Thursday's Beat Breakfast. It's Niall and Show, Killian with you. Now, first things first, Jo's been up to 90 the last 20 minutes and she has yet to get to her correspondence from the last hour.
I will come back to you. I am overwhelmed, I am surprised and I am happy this morning with the amount of people that have messaged to say you're part of the early morning club. So I will come back to you. And whoever that is that's up since 5:45, who is it? Tracy, making donuts and croissants and pastries. I will come back to you and I will give away a travel mug and maybe this will be like a once a week thing because I just didn't know you were there. Yeah. I did not know you were there.
Oh, she's got a bit narrow voice notes to get through.
Speaking of being there, there has been a sighting or a report. I don't know. I don't want to say it's official because I haven't messaged my friend who...
They found fungi.
No, that'd be brilliant. I was one of the last people to see him when I went to
Dingle. Crying.
I know.
No, you weren't the last person to see him.
I said I was one of the last. I was
you were there about 3 weeks before you went missing.
Exactly.
You claim anything.
Go on.
I was one of the last people to see him. Anyway, not fungi. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to disappoint you. There has been a reported sighting. Not even a sighting. Just a report. She might be here, everybody. Oh. Taylor Swift might be in
Ireland.
Really? Yes, yeah.
Okay. Is this from your contact?
No. Another contact, a trusted source. But I'm going to confirm with you as and when I have.
I'd expect she would be, you know, because she's playing tomorrow.
Yeah, the cranes are in Aviva anyway.
Yeah, so they're building all week in the Aviva.
Well, that's probably why they're doing all these kind of roadworks and
she might have come in on the Celebrity Silhouette.
The cruise, yeah. So in honour of her arriving in Ireland, I've done something right. I have joined the pack and I have ordered a pair of cowboy boots for Saturday night.
Will they be here in time?
Well, I ordered them last
night. Are you sure you're not going to this weekend?
Everyone's wearing cowboy boots for Taylor.
I'm definitely not.
Anyway, only you would make me do this, Taylor. I don't know what's happened to me. I'm going home tonight to make friendship bracelets.
Yeah, I'm even that.
I'm not part of the gang, but I am willing to embrace this weekend because this is like going to be a moment on reeling in the years. It's going to go down in the history books.
They're going to see you heading towards the Aviva and think your one's in the Pride Parade.
Yeehaw! Happy Thursday to you.
All right, busy one ahead. Emerald Park tickets, detail menswear competition, final dilemma of the week, and a bit of crack between now and 10.
Stay with us.
So I was walking home from work yesterday, okay? Doing my little walk home. I walk home every day and a car passed. The sun was kind of breaking through and people were in kind of good form. And a car passed, and as the car passed, the window was down and there was a big Labrador. Ooh. And he had his head out the window and he was just so happy. And I could not help but smile because that always makes me smile when you see a happy dog, head out the window, tongue out. And I just thought that's probably something that makes everybody smile. So what I want to ask you this morning is what makes everybody smile, that we can all be in agreement. Yeah, actually, I do. Yeah, I kind of grin when I pass that.
Every single time without fail that I see an old couple together and holding hands, I just lose it. Like that is, I know I love old people and when they're like when they're hanging out together, I just think, oh, you're so cute. This is the other one that's we've got a huge response on. Marianne in Kilkenny, and I defy you to disagree with me. Laughing kids and babies, it's so contagious. Anyone around would smile or laugh too.
Yeah.
You know, the little sound of like baby's laugh is just the best
thing.
There's
just something about it.
Yeah.
Sinéan, how are you?
Morning.
Well, what makes everybody smile?
When you're driving on the road, the main road to Wexford, and you see the strawberry stands getting put out.
Oh, hon.
It's summertime then.
And when it's sunny, do you know what else makes me smile, right? When you see them and then you see a couple of people outside and they're getting their punnets and you're thinking they're off now sitting in their backyard and having a bit of strawberries and cream for the evening.
The strawberries don't even make it home. They're gone before you get home.
Hopping off them.
I remember going to Middleton in County Cork a few years ago and we got down to the road on Cork. And here's a Wexford strawberry standing Cork. Amazed. I was like, how did I get them down here every morning?
Oh, I love
such
that.
A proud yellow belly.
It's joyous though, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah. Oh no, they are. They're brilliant. And anyone that says that they don't smile when they see them, it's just, yeah. Just they're just lying because they just make it so happy and everyone just smiles when you see them and they're driving by going, oh yeah, strawberries.
And we're so proud as well, aren't they? Because they say Wexford strawberries. We're like, oh yeah, they're ours.
That's me.
They're ours. They belong to us.
Yeah. Thanks, Sterling. You have a great Tuesday, all right?
You too,
mind yourself. Now, you know the way you mentioned the older couples and that and how it makes your heart so full, Jo?
Yeah,
you're
so
not
fun.
Alone because Sinead was onto us on this.
What makes me smile when I'm driving along is when you see elderly people, like an elderly couple, and they're holding hands and they're having the chat as they're walking by. I was into a daze just looking at them saying, Jesus. You know, nowadays people don't even give relationships a chance. So I love it when I see an elderly couple holding hands walking along.
Yeah, you and me, girl. We are kindred spirits. I'm so like that. Okay, Philip, good morning, hon. How are you?
Good morning, good morning.
Hello.
Oh, I love yours too. Talk to us.
I always get a little smile or a chuckle, if you like, seeing a little child on a phone, on a little plastic toy phone, talking to God knows who, the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, oh God Almighty, giving out to grandparents or my little one. She often picks up the phone, could be 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, and she rings for a takeaway and local shipper. So that's the level you're at there.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
All just comical, you know, the ranting and raving and just
excited
as quick as she picks
babble.
It up then yeah exactly that's it she'll press the cancel button and hang up and pat her about as if nothing happened.
It's like the seriousness of their little conversations, like, or, you know, it's so real to them.
Oh, fully committed. Yeah. Absolutely. But it's ringing the Easter Bunny to ask can the Tooth Fairy come tonight, you know? Like it's that level of stuff, you know. I know, brilliant, just comical.
Yeah. And what is her takeaway order when she does ring in the morning?
It could be Easter eggs.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense.
It could be anything. Yeah. Honest to God.
Gorgeous.
We love it. Phil, thanks for having us.
Have a good day. Bye.
All right.
Wake up with your mate.
Start your day laughing.
Niall and Show on Beat Breakfast.
Okay, it's Taylor Mania all this week, and the one question that I saw a lot online yesterday was, is she in the country yet? Did she fly immediately from London yesterday? And I actually saw people who I kind of trust online. They were at Dublin Airport showing planes, and the plane number was linked to Taylor. Is she here yet? But you're saying no, you've got an inside info.
I have a trusted source, as they say in the business, and I am telling you now, it's up to you who you want to believe, but I would strongly...
So you're talking highest level stuff here.
You can't go any higher. And
he also said there was going to be a heat wave, so...
No, my trusted sources said she has not arrived. But like, okay. Look, someone said she could have got the ferry.
She could have got the ferry. She could have got the ferry. Or bus, a coach from the
Beaver
London.
There, lads,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But the reality is she is going to arrive at some point. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow. And then she's going to have a few days to hang around before she gets to those three big gigs. We're talking Taylor Swift. And there was an interesting article in the Irish Times yesterday. And they asked the question, well, what kind of itinerary do you put together for a woman who has seen everything?
Everything.
She has seen everything. She's travelled the world as a pop star. All her adult life, she has the private jet, she's all the rest, and she's already on this Eras tour being all over the world.
And I think that like begs the question, do we not bring it back to basics? Do you know what I mean? Like, don't be bringing her to like the, you know, high end places. We need to
no. I agree with you. I'd say don't bring her there because she's a down to earth kind of girl.
Like, if she's going, I just think she needs to see the real side of Ireland.
Okay, there's a couple of places mentioned here from the southeast.
Okay.
I'll mention that, and then if you've any thoughts yourself, you can share them. So the Irish Times suggests that Taylor should absolutely be brought to the Magic Road in the Cumra Mountains in Waterford. Do you know the Magic Road?
No, I've never
been.
Car
goes backwards on it and stuff.
Ah.
It says, with Folklore being the title of one of her albums and eras, it feels only right that she steeps herself in some of our tangible links to myth and legend.
Mm.
And this is, yeah, as I said, the car travels backwards from the bottom of the hill to the top in this supernatural phenomenon. Yeah,
I've never heard of this.
Yeah, well, okay. I'm telling you. Number two on the list as where she might go, the National Reptile Zoo in Kilkenny. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Two reasons for this. Kilkenny, cats. She loves cats.
Oh.
You know? And also, the last time she played in Ireland, she brought her snake-themed reputation tour to Croke Park.
Oh, exactly.
So
okay.
There's a good link there. And the last one, just outside the southeast, but not a bad suggestion. Taylor should be brought to the Barack Obama Plaza.
Oh, the super active
area. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on the Offaly Tip border. Because, look, it's her own people, Barack Obama and stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Good shouts, good shouts. Okay.
A fine plaza.
Yeah. Mm. Fine plaza.
Fine.
I love a good plaza.
Yeah. I love a plaza. Yeah. Will I give you mine just for Wexford? If she is coming in on the ferry, she's coming straight in from Rosslare and she's heading back into the city centre, as we call it, the city of Wexford. She needs to get herself a Rissel.
Okay.
I won't give you the name of any particular chipper because I don't want to single anyone out. Mm. But if her teamer listens, want to get a Rissel, battered or breadcrumb, whichever you think. Maybe get her one of both. Then you can take her right into the city centre. And what you can actually do just for the crack with Taylor is you can bring her to the city of Wexford and then get the train down to Rosslare.
Okay.
You know, she sees the sights as she's on the train, and that train is a stunning journey.
She can insta story it then.
Yeah,
like
exactly. Yeah. Tag Irish Rail on it, Killian. Tag Irish Rail. And voted by Michael Palin as one of the best train journeys in Ireland, in the world. And then finally, I'd bring her for an old sea swim on Carraclough Beach, the setting of course, Saving Private Ryan. Yeah. So a lot steeped in history.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. And just for me, for Waterford, after she's done at the Magic Road, she'd have to go to Tramore and do some of the hurdy-gurdies, wouldn't she?
Oh, yeah.
The dance zone and the little train that goes around.
And visit the stalls.
Crazy golf.
Crazy golf.
Can't go around crazy golf, you know?
Yeah.
For Carlo now.
Yeah.
This is, and you're going to laugh at me, but don't laugh, because she's a really good singer-songwriter, probably the best of a generation, but she hasn't met the best of our generation, what we've seen. I would take her to Garry Hill in County Carlo, to the birthplace of Richie Cavanagh.
Ah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And bring her to Bagnestown, like some famous, like my girlfriend has a new iPhone, shot in Bagnestown. Town.
Yeah.
Paddy's Day, shot in Bagnestown. I tell you, there's some great things. And then up the Nine Stones then. And to try a spice bag in the first ever place it was invented in Bagnestown, New World
Impressive
Chinese.
Stuff now,
so much on offer, like between those three. And like we haven't even touched on Tip and Kilkenny, so suggestions are welcome.
And the Dolmen, if she wants to see some rocks, like, yeah, grand.
Any suggestions what we missed? 085-102-9103.
Imagine a collaboration between Richie Kavanagh and Taylor Swift.
It'd be brilliant.
God.
Yeah.
Top of the morning.
Wake up with your mates.
Nile and Show. On Beat Breakfast.
I wake up in the morning.
Wake up!
Show on Beat Breakfast.
Okay, so we just want to touch on this for a couple of minutes, and we're talking life skills, hobbies, pastimes, things that you really tried to have a go at, but it just didn't work for you. We can't all be good at everything.
No, and sometimes you just have to accept that.
And sometimes you just have to say to yourself,
when you try your best but you don't succeed.
So I'll start with a couple of quick ones for you. I didn't get born with a sporty bone in my body, okay? But yet we tried. We tried when we were younger. Initially, my mother thought that horse riding would be a great pastime for me, okay?
You just, like, you...
Don't look like a fella be up on a horse.
Actually, no. He does have the physique of a jockey.
Yep.
He does, to be fair to him.
And I did manage to convince a load of Americans in Vegas in 2012 that I was just back from the London Olympics, where I had taken part in the dressage, which is where they make the horses dance. And they totally believed it. But anyway, back to being a child. Sent horse riding. And my big problem was I was terrified of the horses. Okay, they're so big and they might kick you. That was my whole thing. So I used to insist on getting on the slowest horse, which of course then wouldn't move. And then it just was a disaster, and eventually after a few weeks I had to say, ma'am, this is not for me, I do not like the horses, so horse riding is not a good pastime.
Okay.
So they said, grand, let's send you to play rugby. You can see where this is going. So they sent me down, I was about 7 or 8, to play rugby. And I remember my very first training session, they said, right, we're going to do a scrum. Now, you know what a scrum is, where they all get into the pack and they heads
together.
Down, bind, and you got to run with your head into the other lads and hold together, and then they throw the ball in, and I was the hooker, which is the central role in the front row, right? And the hooker's job is literally to hook the ball. So when the ball comes in, you hook it with your leg and you kick it back to the player stairs behind you. Unfortunately, I didn't like the fact that there was three other legs kicking at me at the same time. So I just thought the best thing to do was to kick the ball away towards them. My teammates were not happy with that at all. So that's when I realised rugby ain't for me either.
Yeah, because unlike the dressage and the jockey,
yeah,
you couldn't pass for the rugby.
Well, I mean, a line out tall.
Yeah. I had a similar experience, and I've spoken on the show before about the fact that I can't dance, and I do think that's like a hobby that I just...
Have you tried like in any kind
of... Yeah, so I went to ballet when I was 5, lasted 2 weeks. I was just pirouetting in the opposite direction to everybody else. And I couldn't touch
you spin me
right round, baby. Yeah. I couldn't touch my toes. Like, I still can't.
Mm. It's amazing you have no rhythm.
Yeah, it
considering
is.
Your brother's a musician.
But that doesn't mean anything. Like, you don't get all the same.
Musical family, you'd have like, I play music, but my brothers can keep time. Like, remember the camp out when you would sing Rehab, and we were in the 10 Paxton before. She could not count 1, 2, 3, 4. She's like, you may count me, and I was like, it's simple, just go with the beat. I can't. She couldn't even tap her foot.
Even the staying alive yesterday,
I think,
was a struggle.
Until you meet me and like spend time with me, people don't realize how bad it is. Like, I've not one rhythmic bone in my body, which means that I can't dance. So I tried ballet, I tried Irish dancing, and I tried modern dance, and it just, none of them, because when you've no rhythm, it doesn't matter what the dance is, it just doesn't work.
It's a shame, you have a great physique for dancing.
that's a nice compliment.
So I would love,
so you basically are also,
when you try your best but you don't succeed.
Like Saturday Night in the Crown, I could give it my best shot on the dance floor, but like I'm not in time.
Well, yeah, everything is moving but none of it is in sync.
Yeah.
If you want a good laugh, sorry to be mean, go look at our TikTok of us doing the spark.
Oh yeah.
Show of hands.
Yeah, I'm just really embarrassing, but I don't care. And I have got to the point where I'm like, you know what, if I want to dance on a night out or at a wedding or whatever, I'm absolutely going to give it my best.
You're a true living form of dance like nobody's watching, because you hope they don't.
I am. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't really care. Yeah. You can watch me at this stage. I'm
your
like,
your eyes hurt, that's your issue. 22. I really appreciate a bit of honesty here and coming forward and not making myself and show feel quite as bad as our inadequacies and failures.
I mean, would we call it a failure? Would we?
When you try your best but you don't succeed.
So I'm particularly appreciative of Mairead. Good morning, Mairead. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Good.
We're good and we're good. Now, I think this is going to touch a nerve with people this morning. I think this is relatable. What was the life skill or hobby that you just couldn't master?
Mine was gymnastics.
Yeah.
God love them. They tried so hard to teach me. For about 2 or 3 years, I was doing it, and all I could do was a forward tumble.
Okay.
For 2 or 3 years, and they used to put me in a separate room to while everyone else was doing other things, and I would just be practicing a cartwheel, and that went on for like 2 or 3 years. Even though they would try, God love them, but then I was finally able to convince the mother that. This wasn't working.
But did you love it? Like, is that why you stuck at it, or?
Oh, no, just, actually, it wasn't too bad, like, but no, I wasn't particularly fond of it, just, my mom was more kind of hoping that I could get good at it, you know.
I think you know yourself, even as a child, if you're not really good at something and everybody else is, it's hard to enjoy it, isn't it?
Yeah, but... It was also kind of fun to see everyone else like do all the tricks. So it's not as if I had a horrible time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to put my mother down on the ground.
I know. Yeah, I get it. I'll make you feel better. I can't do a handstand, I can't do a cartwheel, and I can't do a forward roll.
Like it was, God loves them. I'll just never forget the teachers. They were so kind. Mm. They never made me feel too bad, and they did try their best. God love them. But they eventually just was like, how about we go put you in this room and you just try your best?
Yeah.
And just like, let us know.
Mairead, I have no doubt you have many other wonderful talents and skills. So it's all good.
Thanks for chatting to us this morning. I woke up this morning. Beat Breakfast on Beat 102 103. Well, I am handing this over to you, Niall Pearr, because we were driving back from Carlow, where we were yesterday with the Carlow First Responders at the Talbot. And Niall said to me, do you know what this is? And I was like, What?
Yeah, you can imagine what went through her head when I asked her what raw dogging is. Okay, so I've read just a few articles about this earlier in the week. It seems to be everywhere at the moment. And it really resonated with me because I think I am kind of a bit like this. And it seems to be more prevalent with men than women. So, the new trend sees people engaging in some rather unusual flight activity. And an expert has explained why men are more likely to enjoy raw dogging on a flight than women.
Wait, I hope you can tell me where this term came from as well.
Not sure if it's in my script, but I'll keep going. Before we get started, it's important to note that raw dogging is not rude, okay?
Yeah.
It's a new and pretty bizarre travel trend that sees people heading off on long haul or even shorter haul flights with absolutely nothing to occupy or entertain them. So you see, I always see, I've just come back from travels and people get on the plane, they have a book, they have a TV series or a movie downloaded to their tablet or their phone and their earphones, they have music, they have something to entertain them for that couple of hours or that 4 hours to the Canaries or longer if you're going to Asia or America or whatever. However, some guys particularly just arrive, nothing. Absolutely nothing for the flight and are just happy to sit there with their thoughts, or if you're on the longer haul flight, to watch the flight path on the screen.
Yeah, very therapeutic.
I'm kind of like that, to be honest. And that's the thing. I don't download movies. I'm quite happy to sit, watch everybody on the plane, you know, listen to the eavesdrop on the conversations around me.
And I love to like watch the air hosts and air hostesses at work. Like, I love to see what's going on and how they're kind of dealing with people. And like, I find that, like, people watching, I find it fascinating.
And if you're lucky enough to get a window seat, I will just look out the window for the entire flight.
Oh no, I'm more of a
people. Boring. It's just clouds.
But I will say, and I said this,
sunny, you can see the land, and then I'm like, is that France? Is that Spain?
Oh, ooh, yeah.
Where could it be?
And I love when you spot like a chateau or something if you're flying over
you
France.
You can't at 35,000 feet spot a chateau. You might see a river and that's about it.
Anyway, I said to Niall yesterday, one of my favourite things about a flight, and I'm like him, given that I'd be on my phone all the time, I never download stuff because normally I'm just going to Spain, so I don't bother. I'll either bring a book or what I love, and it's a real kind of like holiday vibe. I love the magazine.
Yeah.
I love a read of the magazine. I'm like I've no intention of buying anything because they tell you it's cheaper, it's not. You know, I love looking through the perfume. There might be some watches.
I think the saddest thing that happened in this country post pandemic, okay, I want to say this, is that Aer Lingus got rid of the Cara magazine.
Yeah.
That was a brilliant read.
Yeah.
It was all the destinations you could go to and, you know, and nice bars and cities around the world. I loved it. That got me through a flight.
And it always
reading that for a while.
It always had like interesting articles of people that had travelled and stuff. But I loved the in-flight magazine. And then I go
but
to
I
the
don't
back.
Know who you're flying with that you get one anymore, to be honest.
No, you have to scan a code.
No, Ryanair just that you scan a code for a menu.
There's well, I went to Mallorca with Air Nordic, I think, because it was TUI. But like the magazine was brilliant, right? It was lovely. It was real glossy and everything. And then you flip it over and upside down, and at the back it's got the bar menu. And I just love, oh, Pringles, $2.50.
Oh no, what's the meal deal? Ooh, €14 for a sandwich and a water.
I just think I'm really easily pleased. That is one of my favourite things about getting on the plane.
If you're on a 4 hour flight, that magazine is not going to keep you occupied.
Oh, you'd be surprised. I would read the terms and conditions.
Read the ads.
Yeah.
So you'd last a 4 hour flight with just looking out the window. Looking at different people, not a bit of music, not a little game on your phone.
Yeah.
The world's gone mad. I bring my Switch on the plane to play Mario Kart. Yeah,
okay. I'm not a device person on a plane. I'm a raw dog, and I will tell you now, right? I've just googled it. Don't do it. Okay,
wait, okay, right, move on, move on.
Wake up,
when I wake up in the morning, I gotta get up and get it.
Okay, I'll kick this segment off by asking you, what is your favourite condiment? Of choice, if you had to choose only one, I'll go first, brown sauce.
It depends on what you're eating, though. It really depends on what you're eating. Because if it's chicken, it's sweet chilli sauce, or maybe garlic mayo. If it's like chips, it's ketchup.
Probably a ketchup. Okay. I'm a solid, reliable kind
of guy. Yeah, it's universal to everything, I think.
Well, I think that's fair, but I suppose I'm thinking of like what... I think ketchup... Like, I don't know if ketchup has it all going on, if you know what I mean, in the way that brown sauce or a garlic sauce or even a curry sauce. It's got a lot more going for it. Like ketchup, a bit of tomato. Anyway, after decades...
All right, sorry. Okay. What's yours? Brown sauce. Yeah. Ooh, bit of brown sauce.
Bit of oomph.
In a brown sauce?
Don't know. After decades of making sauces, though, Heinz have decided that the best idea, and as we're talking here, it's very hard to choose, they've decided that their next product is to combine all 14 of their well-loved flavours, right? Now, I know. This is a lot for 7:35 on a Tuesday morning. A lot of people obsessed, quarter of Brits are obsessed with condiments, and more than 7 out of 10 are known to use more than one sauce at one time. I was never a double saucer. Mm. I would, like, apart from the Mary Rose, which, you know, is kind of accepted, that's a ketchup and a mayo together, I would never dream of mixing a curry with a chili, or, you know, it wouldn't enter my head. Would you be the same?
Yeah, I know. I mean, it reminds you, as a kid, you're into mixing things up and, you know, concoctions and that kind of thing. But not as an adult.
No.
Sometimes I do.
Do you?
Yeah, sweet chili and garlic mayo.
Oh,
I'm telling you now, don't knock it till you try it. Because you have sweet chili mayonnaise, it's all is sweet chili and mayonnaise mixed together. But if you add the garlic, it gives that oomph, that little kick to it.
A lot of flavour.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to see the colour of
You would
the,
like to smell my breath after
No, I don't mean This new condiment, right, is dubbed Every Sauce, which kind of does what it says on the tin. It's a mixture of 14 sauces from across the flavour range. Not only does it include typical flavours like burger sauce and sweet chili, but some wild cards as well, right? Pickle ketchup, never heard of it. Truffle mayo. Garlic and caramelised onion mayo, alongside alioli, smoky baconese, and various others. And there's been a statement obviously issued. A lot of people are saying this sounds like
broken.
I'm malfunctioning.
Wind her up with the back there now.
April
Put 50p
Fools.
In the meter.
April Fools. That's what he was trying to get out. Jesus. What's wrong?
Yeah,
with
it does sound like an April Fool's.
Diego Rapp is the director of Taste Evaluation. What a job. He explained, over the years, we've been constantly innovating to meet culinary tastes and trends. And when it comes to sauces at Heinz, we can't deny we're sauce obsessed. It only felt right to find out if there are those out there who are as obsessed as Very we good. Are and oh, give them the terrible. Ultimate sauce to rule them all. Unsurprisingly, this bizarre new concoction has garnered an awful lot of attention online. People are not sure. A bit late for April Fool's, somebody said, we'll probably just end up tasting like a mild mayo with a hint of warmth. How does this even work? Somebody else said, dreams do come true. Somebody else said, I'm saucy enough. People have gone wild.
I just don't think you'll pick out any of the flavours when you mash 14 of them together.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of way. Now, there is only 100 bottles of these. They're a limited run. Mm. And you have to apply through their website if you really want it.
Sugar, will I do it now, actually? Will I get it? Can I? Is it too late?
Go on, get it.
Try it.
I wonder if they put the Heinz bean sauce in it. The baked bean sauce.
It'd be very gloopy, wouldn't it?
Well, if it's 14, it probably is in there. But like, it's got your, it has your ketchup and it has your chili and your brown sauce.
I'd buy the Heinz bean sauce in a bottle if they had it.
Would you? And what would
I
you
love
put it on?
Juice. I don't know, with anything, just to give that sense of beans, you know?
That's vile. I'm currently on the Heinz UK website entering to get myself a bottle of the Every Sauce. We will come back to you as and when we have tried it.
I can't wait.
I got this feeling.
Wake up with your mate.
Start your day laughing.
Niall and Show on Beat Breakfast.
What can I say except you're welcome?
These are a few of my favourite things.
Okay, I want to talk favourite things just for a moment. And not the obvious favourite things. We all have favourite things. We all have preference for different things. Colours, bands, TV shows and all that. But sometimes we have a fondness for favourite things that are just a little bit mundane, you might say, okay? And okay, I'm going to read a statement out to you that I saw this week, and I want you to tell me, is this absolutely crazy? Or no, I totally get that. I want everyone's opinion on this. Yeah. Is this crazy? Or I totally get that. And the statement is this. One of the weirder things about being an adult is having a favourite stovetop burner, yet nobody talks about it. So we're talking about, you know, the hobs. If you have four hobs on your oven, do you have a favourite?
Bottom right. So one, two,
the
three,
one closest
four.
Closest to you, on the right.
On the right-hand side.
Are you saying bottom is like at you? At the
close to my tummy, like bottom right.
Because I would say left rear, and I mean the one at the back that's on the left.
Oh no, I never go rear.
Don't you? You don't like rear? So what is it about bottom right? Why are you drawn to it?
Bottom right, I just feel like it's, I'm right-handed maybe. Mm. And also it's just there, it's accessible and it's big.
Okay.
You know, it's a big ring.
That used to be my favourite, but relationships change and now it's left rear.
Why would you go rear though?
It's a bit further away. I won't knock it, you know, that kind
of thing. Megan's the same. She likes the left rear and ours. Yeah. I like the front right. It's just nicer, I think. You get a good grip on your left hand to hold the actual the handle of the pot, and then it's a good angle for stirring. Yeah. You know, if you're doing pasta.
It's right there. Like, yeah. I feel like at the rear, you're not getting into stir.
Exactly.
If you're putting a sauce in or something, you're
chop stuff, and then you're like, your t-shirt hits off the thing, and you know, it's just it's too much now.
I'm always bottom right. If I have to do two at the one time, I'm bottom right and bottom left. Now, I have to be honest with I have to be honest with you. I'd never have three pans on the go at the one time.
No, it'd be rare. Very rare occasion. Christmas Day, maybe.
Yeah, not me.
Okay, that's one example. And give us your thoughts on that. Do you have any strong preferences on
the hob?
Your hob, basically. I actually really like that one, and I will always use that one because I just like it.
Yeah.
But it's not just, I mean, you started talking about cutlery to me the other day.
So when we got married in 2013, we got a Jamie Oliver cutlery set, and we now are left with, I think, three of the forks. And I don't know how to describe, like, what's the end of the fork called?
Spork,
Well, maybe it is
the tongue,
like, not the handle. The handle.
Yeah,
the handle of the fork.
It's a fat handle, and I like it.
Well, I don't like it too fat.
Oh, I like it.
No,
I do, and it's just got a good grip on it. Because I would.
Because that reminds me of, like, my mother's good cutlery that she might get out for Christmas.
Yes,
it's so heavy.
No, this Jamie Oliver's isn't.
Okay,
I know what you're talking about. I know the ones you're like
pure down. Silver.
Yeah. No, this is it's just the right weight, and it just looks. It's just got really nice. Prong on it, and I feel like I prefer my dinner when I eat off one of those forks.
Okay. Well, look, that's what we're touching on this morning.
This is a bit weird.
It is a bit weird, but we want to know, do you have an unusual favourite thing, whether it is a hob, a piece of cutlery, or I do know that Ireland tends to, and Irish people tend to have a favourite mug. Would you be that, Killian?
Yeah, I'd have a favourite mug. I brought my favourite mug from Bagginstown to Waterford. Yeah. That's how much I like it.
And your tea will not taste the same out of anything else.
Like, I live with a boy, and he still, to this day, will make me a cup of tea out of a cup that, like, I'm like, not what acceptable. Are you thinking? Like, not do acceptable. You ever see me drinking out of that? Like, you know, I have a mug, you know?
Yeah. Okay, quick thoughts on this. 0851029103. You can voice notice as well. Do you have a favourite mundane item in the house? Let us know.
We're not afraid.
Shy away from it.
We're not afraid, though, to delve into
heavy hitting.
Yeah, no,
stuff.
Hard hitting.
So this statement that everybody has a favourite hob, we're just talking about those mundane things, often in the kitchen, whether it's your mug or your fork or whatever the case may be. That I'll admit I do have a favourite, and I get a little bit upset if somebody brings me my dinner with the wrong fork or the tea in the wrong mug. I think it's human nature.
And I have a favourite plate as well.
How could you have a favourite plate?
Because
makes it special?
Well, no, we've two different types of plates. Like, we've plain white, and then we have one grey with kind of grooves, and I prefer the grooves.
Do you?
I feel like it keeps the food hotter for longer. I don't know if that's just in my head.
Yeah, there's another from the show's book of weird theories.
Oh, I need to get moving on that.
Yeah. Okay, Colin, how are you?
Well, how's it going?
Good.
We're good, hon, we're good.
I hadn't thought about this one, but actually I get it. Talk to us.
So I had a favourite wine glass. I wouldn't drink out any other glass.
What made it special, Colin?
I don't know. I think it was just small, nice, light to hold. It was just a nice wine glass. And I had it for years.
Oh, no.
And one night I had maybe a little bit too much.
Yeah.
And I let it smash.
Oh.
And it was like a loss. I actually welled up.
Oh,
and
God.
I was like, I'm never going to have another one.
Oh, no.
But it was tough.
I can see you're still grieving. I can hear it in you.
It's a real, fresh loss.
Yeah.
Come here, what did you do after that? Like, did you ever find anything that was even close to
comparable?
It?
Comparable, no.
Never. My mother actually bought me another one, which is not the same at all.
It's just not the same. Go on.
But anyway, we'll move from that.
Move forward.
I think that is, anyone listening this morning, Colin, that is extremely relatable, what you've just said there. And I wholeheartedly understand. Now, I wouldn't advise that you drink anything but tea or coffee out of it, but I'm going to give you a Beat Breakfast travel mug, all right? Okay? Because you're grieving. You're grieving, all right? And I want to be there for you, okay?
Colin.
Lovely, thank you.
Safe,
you're
Charlie.
Welcome, man. Have a great day.
Have a good day. Let me just get through a couple of the other bits coming in. PJ was on a favourite cereal bowl. It never goes in the dishwasher until the dishwasher is going on. I'll wash it every time after use. And my main reasons, it's massive. It fits half a box of Cocoa Pops in it. So happy out.
Half a box?
Half a box.
That's a big bowl.
And also, Aaron was back onto us, and he has feelings both on the hobs and on the mugs as well.
Where is he?
Yeah, come on, come on.
Oh, lads, I'm back again. You have to do the bottom left on the cooker ring, and it has to be gas. That, the rear ones just don't work. You're knocking off stuff, they're in the way. No, it just doesn't work. Bottom left. And yeah, do a favourite mug. That's a big thing. It has to be a certain kind of mug. It can't just be any old mug. No, unless you get the takeaway coffee or something, that's completely understandable. Yeah, yeah, but no. Favourite mug, all right.
Thanks for that, Aaron. Have a good day.
We've stumbled upon something here this morning. Yeah. I think we're only touching tip of the iceberg stuff. Megan in Clonmel was onto us. I have a thing with socks. Mm. I have my work socks and I have my weekend socks.
Okay.
I also have a favourite travel mug. Even though I've loads, it's my favourite. If it's in the wash, it's just not the same. Yeah.
Where are you on socks? Would you have favourite socks? Like, I definitely have favourite boxers. Like, you know,
favourite underwear, definitely. Yeah. Favourite knickers. Yeah. Top five. Top five.
I'm not asking for your top five. You're right. We've scratched the surface.
Tip of the iceberg.
We're talking about favourite mundane things, and they're just like bang, bang, bang at the moment. Right, let's start. We'll be here from Kat from Wexford, who is on to us. This is her thoughts.
Morning, guys. Had some workmen in my house many, many years ago. They left a beautiful mug in the garage. I asked them whose mug it was. Nobody claimed it. So I washed it and sterilized it and used it for 17 years. Wow. And then I broke it.
Oh,
and
no.
I sat down and I cried for an hour.
You and Colin with the wine glass.
You need some kind of support group set up for losing favourite mundane things.
Prevalent issue among Be Breakfast listeners. Wow.
A lot of these stories have sad endings this morning, guys.
Well, actually,
I wasn't expecting
we didn't
this.
See it coming. But actually, if I broke the mug that I have now in here, like that I've had, I think I'd. I
know what you like when it goes missing.
I was in studio here yesterday, used by someone else, and the eyes turned. What? Mm-hmm. What? And she went in, hiya darling, how are you? And then slowly just took the mug.
Also, message in here, I get this. Larry was on, I have a favourite knife for butter and bread, and I get really annoyed when somebody else at home uses it.
Yeah. Mm. It just hits different when you use that.
One more on this. Brian was on to us as well. He's a little bit puzzled by it all this morning.
Morning, lads. I'm just having a laugh. I realise now that we're living amongst a bunch of weirdos. It's your man with that wine glass. Jesus Christ.
No.
Yeah, we are
we are the weirdos.
We
are Beat Breakfast.
Weirdos. No shame.
No.
Goss update on the way. Beat Breakfast. Beat Breakfast. Your
music now. This is Beat. Every morning, well, most mornings, we've tried to cut back. Bank account is a shambles. But most mornings, Killian and I will go for coffee after Beat Throwbacks around about 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And we go to a couple of coffee shops, but this was one particular one. So we were in the queue, very big, busy that morning. And I just turned to Killian and said, I have to go to the bathroom. You know, it just came over me, an urge. Anyway, I walked over to the toilet and I went to open the door. And the handle is quite a stiff kind of handle. So I opened it down and I pushed the door and there was a woman sat on the toilet and she stood up and her pants
were
around her ankles.
Why did she not just cover?
I don't know, Niall. Okay, I don't know. She stood up, pants around her ankles, and I just stayed and stared for just a fraction of a second too long, and we caught eyes and I just went, I'm so sorry, and I ran back out, ran over to Killian in the queue and cried with laughter.
I would have left without getting my coffee, to be honest. I couldn't have faced her coming out.
I know, I wanted to leave. Like, I was standing looking at him and there was just tears coming out. It was embarrassment.
So did she come out?
She did come out, yeah.
Did you make eye contact again?
No, I just kept my back and then we got the coffee and I just walked out and I just want to apologise. I don't know if she's a fan of Beat Breakfast or not, but if she
probably
is,
not anymore. Let's be honest. She'd be avoiding this show like the plague.
I am so sorry to you. I'm so sorry for both of us because it was just one of those. It was a harmless mistake. We've all been there where we haven't locked the door properly. I walked in and just stayed, as I said, a little bit longer than I should have. And it was just. It was horrendous, wasn't it, Killian?
Like, it was funny, but the fact that you didn't even apologise to her.
I said sorry. But just very quick,
should have said sorry to you too, though, for leaving the door unlocked and you having to look at it.
No, our pants were around her ankles.
And she had dignity was gone.
No, out the door. Yeah. Literally. So that was the kind of in my head yesterday. I was thinking, like, what have you walked in on?
Yeah.
In your lifetime that you've just gone, oh my God, ground, swallow me up. I wish I hadn't seen that. Yeah. Like, she didn't want to see me in that moment. Mm. I didn't want to see her, but it happened.
You saw a lot of her.
Yeah, like, if we're just on toilets for a minute, like, that's why I'm so fearful of train toilets. You know, that door.
That happened, my friend. She went to the bathroom and she just clicked the button like it was an elevator and it slowly revealed, like, you.
I'm just never sure if it's properly locked.
Would you believe that myself and Eve had gone for a walk the night before this happened in the coffee shop, and she had asked me about, you know, the toilets, the public toilets,
the public
that slide open?
Yeah, in Waterford and Wexford.
And she had said, what happens, like, when you go in, how do you stop it? And I said, I was once in Wexford near Evan Square and it opened and someone was sat on the toilet. It does happen, like, accidents do happen.
Oh. Let's get straight to it. Kaz, good morning. How are you?
How are you?
Good.
We're good, hon, we're good.
Okay,
talk to us. On the way to a holiday or on the way back from a holiday?
On the way back from a holiday, we had been to Lanzarote for a few days. It was my first holiday after my separation. So a group of girls said, oh, you've never been on holidays, we're going to have a girls' trip. So it was a holiday full of firsts, but it was a great out laugh. But I had this fear of going to the toilet on the plane.
Yeah.
So anyway, halfway through the flight, we were after being delayed. I was like, I just have to bite the bullet. So I went to the front of the plane and I went into the toilet. So I had done my business anyway, but I flushed the toilet and the noise of it frightened the life out of me.
Yeah.
So I screamed. So the air hostess opened the door because she thought I was in trouble. And I was standing there with my underwear around my knees. If that wasn't bad enough, the co-pilot heard the commotion and put his head out to see what was going on. And I was still standing there with my underwear around my knees, red as a berry, and I was still screaming. So after I had pulled myself together and walked the length of the plane, as red as a berry, the walk of shame, everyone clapping, I sat down, the air hostess came down, still giggling, and said, the co-pilot said it was the funniest thing he's ever seen in 25 years, and would I like a drink? And I asked for a cup of Lion's tea, and my friend hit me a puck and said, will you get a vodka for goodness sake?
Oh my God, Kaz, that is just pure gold.
Because the problem is, it's such a confined space, the first 12 rows hurt everything, you know?
I mean, you drawing the attention of the co-pilot might just be my favourite thing ever, and I feel so much better for what happened to me this week in that coffee shop.
Yeah. Kaz, travel mug on the way to you. Great
well done,
story.
Mrs. Have a great day. Thank you so much. Bye, hon. Bye.
Breakfast with Now.
Join the home of brilliant entertainment with shows, movies, and sport on Now.